Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Say yeah!
That's right, we're moving on up. Good evening once again.
Thank you for joining us this evening, and you have embarked upon another day of Kwanzaa. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be lighting your candles about now, and we're going to get back on the subject for little children so that they can come in the room this evening. And children, only apologize because we've been dismissing you on a regular basis, so it's now time to bring you back in because Kwanzaa is really for you. The African story, go tell it. So we're going to be talking about a couple of stories today. We're going to be taking some stories from The People That Could Fly, The American Black Folktale by Virginia Hamilton, and illustrated by Leo and Diane Dillon. And we're going to be telling one of my favorites, coming from the book of Imhotep, Developing Your Talents, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about our Aesop Heroes and Sheroes series. And this was written by Armstead, one of my very, very good friends. He wrote this workbook, and he created all this information just so you could know about your ancient heritage. Now, let me take a minute to tell you a little bit about your ancient heritage. Sudan. Can you say Sudan? Sudan. And also Kush and Egypt. At one time, most people believed that there was no Kush, only a thorn in Egypt's side. And they believed it to be only Sudan. But Sudan turns out to be Kush. Now, there's a king, there's a group of kings called the Kingdom of Kush. Now, you may have heard your mother talk about the Kingdom of Kush. They reigned for many, many centuries, and they were the offset of Egypt. However, there's been a lot of exploratory over in the Kingdom of Kush, trying to find out just where these people came from and what was the journey that they were on. They were very, very prosperous in their gardening and developing, and they were able to even sell some of their foods to other countries, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls. They were so prosperous that people began to seek them out. Thinking that they were coming over to find out about Sudan, they later found out that it was Kush, the Kingdom of Kush. Now, were they gods? Some folk think they were, but they were called kings because they ruled the land. And boys and girls, you can go to Egypt and find Kush right next to Egypt. Now, storytelling is fun, but teachers are now learning that all of your books start from the century of slavery. We want to go way back to the ancient time, and we want to tell you about the stories when you were at a time when you were kings and queens at the ancient incept of the Kushites. Now, there were Jebusites, Moabites, Hittites, but we want to talk about the Kushites. We want to talk about the kingdom and what did it mean exactly. Now, you know, for royal blood to come down through the lineage, it had to come through a royal woman because no one could be born royal unless they came through the loins of a woman. And the Kemetics was believed that heaven was the woman, and the woman was pictured in the sky with stars all over her as if she was heaven, and she was being held up by her father, and he was Shoot, and he was the heir, giving her the heir, and he was holding her, but below her feet was her husband, which was the earth, Nut. So in depicting these stories, one might think that it's strange to call them earth, fire, and water, but those were the elements, boys and girls, and it was very necessary to think that the woman was heaven, because at night she took the moon in her mouth, and in the morning she birthed the moon, and the moon became the sun. Isn't that interesting how the woman had the moon to go through her, and she digested him into the sun? Well, that's what the Kemetic people thought. And boys and girls, the word Nubian means the burnt-skinned people. Burnt-skinned people at that time were called Nubians. And when we look back to the south, we know that in those areas, there were some people called Nubians. And Nubian means the black, born of the black-skinned people or the burnt-skinned people. Now, there were pyramids everywhere, and they were discovering pyramids all over, strategically set up. They didn't know what they were created for. They were wondering, could they be for the living? But our ancestors created these pyramids on their downslide when they were on their way out. They happened to be tombs, boys and girls. They weren't even houses. They were tombs to put all their possessions in. Now, you must understand one thing. The Africans during that time had a very unique belief. They believed that your lower extremities was the part that one would like to call that evil spirit, that there was never any evil deity that God created, but only the flesh that allowed the lesser part of it to rule. But as you go up the ladder, that part of the halo and the head was to be the spiritual side. And the whole objective is that you're fighting against your own self. You're fighting against the id and the evil, the spirit and the flesh. So there's no entity on the outside like a devil with a pitchfork. They didn't believe in that. They believe that you rise up the ladder, and as you rise up the ladder, you become more spiritual, overcoming the lesser part of the lower extremities. Now, let me tell you a little story about a gentleman named Imhotep. Since we're talking about those pyramids, Imhotep was one of the master architects who built the stair step pyramid. I would like to tell you a little story about Imhotep. Some people like to call him Aesculapius. Now, his name, of course, was changed so that we wouldn't discover who he really was. But our ancestors knew who Imhotep was. Now, more about Imhotep in Egypt. Born in Anku, likely during the late 2900, early 28th century B.C., Imhotep emerged as one of the most remarkable talented figures in the Kemetic iniquity, the son of Kenefer and Kretum, and the husband of Raphran. The Imhotep became a multi-talented genius, mastering all that he attempted. His service was to Zora and first grader Pharaoh of the third dynasty. Boys and girls, they had dynasties back in those days. Among the many occupations were physician, architect. So great were his accomplishments in these occupations that he was worshipped in Kemet nearly 3,000 years, boys and girls, first as a demigod, then later as a full deity. It was the Greek who deciphered Imhotep as a god. They called him Imhotep, and the Greeks identified Imhotep as their own god of medicine. That's right. They deified him. And later the Romans deified him as also Aesculapius, their god of medicine. And if you see the little staff with the snake going up the rail, boys and girls, that is what Imhotep created. That is his logo. Therefore, Imhotep is considered the god of medicine, boys and girls, not what the Greek initially said, because the Greeks changed his name so you wouldn't know we were talking about Imhotep. It was also the Greek who began calling him Kemetic Egypt and called them the Kemites, the people of the land of Egyptian. But during Imhotep's time, the land was called Kemet, which means the black land, and the people were called Kemites. The Kemites were people who came from the interior of Africa, and they were black people who gave civilization to the world. Despite the contribution that there is considerable debate over the origin of the Kemite peoples and their civilization. Ever since Western Europe first encountered ancient Egyptian civilization. They have instead insisted that Egypt has never been a cultural, political, religious, or social part of sub-Sahara Africa, despite the testimonies of the 5th century BC geographer and historian. Herodotus, many Egyptianologists have also denied that the ancient Egyptians were members of the so-called Negro race. Herodotus discussed Egyptian customs, religions like the primary in geometry, vessels building kingdomship, practices these of the neighboring people. For example, one key figure in Egypt is theology. And since you can't get out of life alive, the divinity of the king of pharaohs and the divine kingship is clearly a feature borrowed from the Sahara cosmetologists. Herodotus described the Egyptians also and divided them into two groups, those east of Egypt and those south of the Upper Egypt. And beyond the Nile, he observed the only distinguished feature between the two groups was that the eastern Egyptians had straight hair and the southern Egyptians had woolly hair, like ours, so to speak. He observed that both groups were black, but not as black as the Liberians he had encountered. Herodotus also remarked about the cultural intercount and the exchange between the Egyptians and both groups of Egyptians and Liberians. William Petrus, an architecturologist, during 1930s, confirmed Herodotus' observation. He held, for example, that Zatoris dynasty of the 27th century BC was of Sudan Nubian origin, just what we were talking about earlier. Du Bois traced the origins of the people of Africa in the first two chapters of Black Folks, Then and Now. Especially relevant is the second chapter, The Valley of the Nile. He claimed also that the ancient Egyptians were black. Did you hear that, boys and girls? They were black. Drusillus Houston, in the wonderful Egyptologians of the ancient Kushites Imperia, also offered convincing documentation that Egyptians owned its civilization. They owed its civilization to inner Africa. Houston wrote that Egyptian was the source of all that Egypt knew and transmitted it to Greece and Rome. Moreover, the quotes Simetus and Barapatus, who said Egyptians was the first established country on earth, and Egyptians were the first to set the worship of the gods and to establish law. It should also be noted that the ancients called all of interior Africa Ethiopia. Despite documentation on Egyptian civilization, Western scholars persistently ignore the evidence and continue to insist that Egypt is in Africa, but not of it. For example, Roland Oliver and John D. Faggs, in A Short History of Africa, wrote, "In a sense, much of the history of ancient Egypt is irrelevant, so that of Africa as a whole, that this book is considered by students and scholars of Africa history a classic. Nonetheless, they have ignored the evidence. They continue that ancient Egypt made a contribution to Negroes, Africans, for instance. They wrote that concept of divine kinship is Egypt's legacy to so make up the rest of Africa. In fact, it was the other way around. Oliver and Frank concluded that relevance of ancient Egypt to Africa is thus something fundamentally different from the relevance to Europe. Egyptians in influence that they held contribution powerful to the rays of civilization in the Mediterranean. Evidence discovering during the 1960s revealed that it was inner Africa that gave Egyptians a basis of civilization. Consequently, it was interior Africa that contributed powerfully to the rays of civilization in the Mediterranean, not Egypt. Debates over the significance of Africa in the development of the world. Civilization is continuous. Evidence continues to show that Africa played a major role. For example, students of Egyptology have recovered evidence that Quetzal-Nubia was usually the birthplace of the Pharaoh civilization. These scientists discovered that complete dynasties existed in Nubia, which the Kemetic called the land of the Baal, before kings, and Mens, also called Narmerch, unified south, upper, and north, lower Egypt. They were half boys and girls. One was for the upper kingdom and one was for the lower kingdom. They even discovered that the pyramids and these acres were older than any in Egypt. Documentation also shows that the Nubian moved into the Kemetic, which they call the Tishkemet, after a military victory. Other scholars have discovered that the people who settled in Kemite, eventually referring to themselves as the Kemites, were related to African ethnic groups called the Anu. The Nubians were also members of the Anu. The Anu offers the best evidence of where they came from and to whom they owed their civilization. According to the Anu, they came from the mountain of the moon, Mount Kilimanjaro, one of the tallest mountains in Africa and in Kenya. They also looked to the south as their holy land. When the Kemites settled in to become Kemites, the land of the blacks, they brought the tools of civilization with them. And apparently, they even brought the knowledge of pyramid building. For instance, even though no one knows exactly where the pyramid age began, it is believed that the Kemetic people had the knowledge and were one of the first to get this from the technology to people throughout Africa. What is known, however, is that Inhofe initiated the pyramid age that consisted during the third and fourth dynasty, beginning with Inhotep, step pyramid, and the quarter, and ending with the pyramids of the pharaohs of the fourth dynasty, including Khufu, which is considered a wonder of the world. These black Africans built these massive structures, which called baffled scientists today. They are still baffled by the seven wonders of the world. A student of science, astronomy, mathematics, chief ritual priest to Zophar and Hotep perhaps discovered the secret of pyramid building. In the university's libraries, he apparently developed the technology for hewing stones from the quarries around Kemet. So remarkable was his feat that the pyramids are a testimony to the technology of his age. Nowhere on earth have they been duplicated all through the Hittites and invaded, even though the Hittites invaded Egypt, C, 1500 B.C., and destroyed many of the symbols of cultural civilization of Lower Egypt, the pyramids remain as a constant reminder of the legacy of Black Africans and her son, Imhotep. Like the pyramids, Africa was then invaded, but it too will survive as the world struggles to find and then to accept where creation began. There is no doubt that Africa culture had a profound impact on world culture, and that the Kemites were there when it all began. Like Imhotep, Egypt is one of Africa's children. Boys and girls, did you hear what I said? Egypt is one of Africa's children. There are many, many fables on this story, boys and girls. Imhotep is a multi-genius, and he was a multi-genius. He was talented in his architectural structure, as well as being one of the first known doctors. Imhotep can be found in your library. You can go and look him up and read it for yourself. Now I have some questions for you. What were some of Imhotep's, boys and girls? Think about it. And were these physicians in Kemet before Imhotep came along? What are some of the examples of the pharmaceutical medicine the Kemites used? What did they use? Did they use natural herbs that they grew in the ground? Did they use essential oils? Think about it. I want you to do some research. Why is Imhotep called the father of medicine, boys and girls? We talked about that. What is the Kemetic language called? I want you to do some research on the language. What was the significance of architecture to the ancient Kemetics? Where did Imhotep construct a pyramid? You should know that. What kind of pyramid was it, and for whom was it built? And I want to ask another question. Was it a tomb for their burial ground, or was it their home? What did some of the ancient Kemetic people do at an early time in historical memory? What group of people were first to come across the Great Sea in the Kemites? Why did they come in the first place? Who are some of the Greeks who studied in the Kemetic? I'll tell you, Aristotle, Hippocrates, Homer, they all studied up under them. What name did the Greeks call Kemites? Remember, I told you that they were hiding names and recreating names so that we would not figure out who they were talking about, and we would not learn of our greatness. Who is Aesculapius? What should you do to discover the truth about who you are? You should study, boys and girls, and you should research. Don't take my word for it. Ask your mothers to give you a chance to study. And ask your mothers to show you how do you study Egyptology and how do you find out who your ancestors were. These are just some questions I'm asking you today. Now I want you to remember, tomorrow is Kuumba, creativity. And today, boys and girls, I want you to understand we light the candle today. And we light a candle of Ujamaa. And you light your three green candles, and you should have already lit those three green candles. And now you're lighting the red candles, boys and girls. Now, what does the red candle stand for? Does it stand for the blood that was shed? Or does it stand for the land over in Africa? And what does the black candle stand for? You should know that. Think with heart. The black candle stands for the people, the African burnt skin people. Now, Kwanzaa comes out of the first fruit. And Kwanzaa comes out of Africa and all over the diaspora, especially in St. Croix and the Virgin Islands. They're studying and they're practicing all of the rituals of Kwanzaa, the first fruit. And your mother, tell her, Mom, I want to celebrate Kwanzaa. I'd like to buy those candles, and I'd like to set up an altar and have a kanara. And guess what? The gifts are called zuwati, and you can ask your mom to buy you or to make you some zuwati. You don't have to go out and buy commercial gifts. Why don't you make some gifts? Be creative. There are all kinds of things you can make, like paper mats, African flags with the red, green, and yellow. And you can always remember that when you begin to look at all of the things that we created, then why should you feel ashamed? And why should you walk around with low self-esteem? If your ancestors created geometry and mathematics, and Imhotep was the first father of medicine, well, you should be able to do those same things, boys and girls. You should understand that the greatness came from your ancestors, and it's in your loins. You can do those things, too. You can become a mathematician, whatever you want to become, or a scientist. Now, Imhotep was just one of the people that did some great things, but there are other people out there. I'd like to tell you a story about Little Bad A. John. Little Bad A. John comes a small boy, said he lived long ago. He was a handsome one, but looking good never fit to the way he would be acting. Little A. John was mean something, ooh-wee. He never paid much attention to the old folks, not listening to his mother and listening to the truth they knew about. His mama loved him ever so much. She tell him like this, not to do something, and then little bad A. John would go right ahead and do something that she told him not to do. He was awfully contrary. That was the way he was, awfully contrary. A. John, his mama would say, A. John, now don't you go stepping on those toads and frogs. Toads and frogs is bad luck. If you bother with them, then you're going to bring bad luck to your family, little John. Please don't do that, little bad A. John, she would say. Little A. John said, Mama, I won't step on the frogs, Mama. I won't step on them. I won't step on them, Mama. I said I won't. But once his mama was out of sight and couldn't see him, little bad A. John would go and squash him a frog and step on a toad right ahead and do what she told him not to do. And he would push down those frogs till they squish. And he squished them. And then he would squish them some more. And if he could, then he would squish them a third time. His mama's cow wouldn't give any good milk one time. His baby sister had bad stomachache. Little A. John just laughed and laughed. Oh, my sister's got a stomachache. So what? Honey, don't sit in that chair backwards, his mama would say. His mama told him not to sit in the chair backwards. You're sitting down in that chair backwards, and you're going to bring bad luck, serious bad luck, to your family. Of course, little bad A. John just sit down backwards in the chair anyway and didn't mind his mother. One day, his mama cornbread burnt up with her looking at it in the oven, and it wouldn't rise. The milk wouldn't even curdle, and no single way, and no way at all. She began to say to Little John, Little John, Little Bad A. John. She started laughing, and she said, listen, please listen to your mother. Little A. John just fell back and laughed. She ain't talking to me. And began to just lean back in the chair. Why nothing happened to be the way that they began. Sweet little A. John, his mama told him, sweet little A. John, don't you climb a tree. Don't go out there and climb that tree on Sunday, or you will be bringing bad luck to our household. So bad little A. John, as much as and awful as he was, little bad A. John went right on outside and climbed that tree anyway, being stubborn on a Sunday. It happened soon that his papa's potatoes would not grow. His papa's mule would not plow. Little A. John surely knew why and wasn't going to tell anyone why. Not a soul. Don't count your straight white teeth, his mama would say. Don't do that, little bad A. John. Please don't do that. You're going to make your papa's cow not give milk. Little bad A. John turned away, and he counted his teeth anyway, one by one and two by two. But angry little bad egg John, he went right ahead and kept on counting his teeth in his mouth. And he kept counting them upper and lower. He counted them on Monday and on Sunday and the day between until he had counted them all 800 times. That's right, he counted them. Then his poor mama had the whooping cough, and the little baby had the whooping cough. What was this all about? What was the whooping cough? The sickness. It was a sickness. All because little bad Aunt John was so terrible, he brought terrible bad news to his family. His sweet mama told him straight away, "Little A. John, please listen to me," she said. "Don't go sleeping with your head at the floor of the bed. Please don't do that. It will give your family the shortness of money, blues, if you do." He did exactly as his mother told him not to do. He did it. Little A. John did sleep with his head at the foot of the bed because he was such a rotten little boy and awfully contrary. His family went stone broke with no money nowhere to be found. And that made little A. John giggle. "They're broke, so what? I had fun doing it." "Don't you dare give yourself Sunday moans for fear of old raw head Bloody Boone," his mama told him, because she loved him so. Now, little A. John knew that his old bloody bones was the raw bones of someone dead that could rise and walk and to try to catch him someday. But little A. John, he didn't even care one bit. He moaned and he groaned on a Sunday and on a Monday, too. He was just moaning and a-moaning, And sure enough, one dark, still night, it happened. Old Rawhead, Bloody Bones, rose up and came walking like this. Walking. He came after bad little John, and in one flicker of the candle, that old raw bloody bone turned little bad Aunt John into a little dark spot. There was a dark spot like a grease spot on the kitchen table. The next morning, little Aunt John's mama taken a wet rag and washed off that grease spot and was looking greasy on the kitchen table. "Must have been a spot," she said. "Must have missed it last night." She wiped it right up. She scooped it up, she said. She rubbed and rubbed and rubbed at it until the dark spot wasn't anymore. It was gone. Wasn't a bit of it left. Was not a streak of it left. And that was the end of little bad Aunt John, and that's the end of that. What happened to all little children who regret minding their mama? This is a moral that's told for you boys and girls, and it's told so the children will mind their mother. And if they don't, something really bad can happen to them, like little bad Aunt John. You can get wiped right up as if you're a spot. And if you don't like my story, then tell your own and make it sweet and make it quick. Thank you, boys and girls. I hope you enjoyed that story. Little bad Aunt John is a boy that didn't exist, but that is a moral story, boys and girls. And there are plenty of stories in this book. You ought to go out to the library and get this book. It's one of my favorites. I bought the book. I like it so much that I went out and bought the book. And there are many stories in here, like Burr Rabbit and Anna Saw. There are many stories in here. The Beautiful Girl of the Moon. And boys and girls, these stories came from different parts of Africa. Some of the Yoruba tribe and some of the Ashanti people, and they tell the stories from their perspective, like I told you. Now, you must remember, we've got to go out and get stories, and we got to be readers in this room. It's very important that you spend your time reading. Now, there's something called the Nook that you can put your books on and read them, and some of the books you can read for free. You can test them out. Now, if you are a class of readers, raise both of your hands. And if you love reading, raise your feet too. I'm a reader, so I love to raise my hands and my feet. And boys and girls, I want to tell you something. It's been a great thing to talk to you about stories, but I would love for you to meet me somewhere. Maybe you can meet me out in a bookstore. But unfortunately, all our bookstores are closing. I used to go out to Barnes and Noble, and I used to read for the children, and they would be so excited to hear my stories. I don't have any children to read to anymore, but you can be my audience. How about it? If you can meet me here tomorrow, I'll be back again, and I'll be talking about Kuamba creativity. And if you can do some activities, why don't you come in the room with me, and we'll talk about arts and crafts and some things you can do at home right in your living room. Now, mothers, I want to talk to you about homeschool. I want to tell you that you can do Kwanzaa throughout the year. You can create activities in your homeschool. That's right. Do a Saturday school and make sure that you understand that they're learning about their heritage on Saturday. Make it fun. Make it interesting. Don't make it drooling, mother. Don't go getting out those facts. Let them enjoy themselves so that they'll love reading. Reading will take you places, boys and girls. You can travel. You can go places. You can experience and explore. Now, we're talking about Imhotep today, and we know, let's review, he's a father of medicine. That's right. And also, he created the stair-step pyramid. And you must remember that Imhotep's name was changed to disguise who he was. But Imhotep was a master architect and builder and a doctor. And you must remember that the pyramids became one of the seven greatest wonders of the world. It's still a mystery to this day as to where they came from and what their purpose was and even how old they are. Nobody knows exactly how old they are. Now, Nubian people. Who and what are Nubian people? They're the burnt-skinned people from the land of the black. Now, boys and girls, there were some people that I didn't tell you about, the Twa people. There were the little bitty people, and they suspected that the Twa people built the pyramids because of their height. And they weren't able to lift anything, but they were strong and mighty. But they tell me their brains were so strong that they used mental telepathy to lift those solid blocks up. And they used their minds and concentrated real hard, like you ought to be doing in your classroom when you want to remember something. Use your long-term and your short-term memory. Now, the Twa people are very rarely talked about, but I want you to do an assignment and find out all you can about the Twa people. You must remember that Africa was so large that they split it up, and there's south. Remember I told you about the south, Egypt? And the north, and